10 to 7 on RM Breakfast, and let's return now to the latest powerful earthquake to hit China. It struck the country's western Qinghai province, a remote region near Tibet. The 6.9 magnitude earthquake has left an estimated 10,000 people injured, and at this stage the death toll has risen to around 600 people. Rescue teams are still sifting through the ruins, of course. Thousands of mud and stone houses absolutely demolished by the quake. Matt Wingate is a senior emergencies advisor with Save the Children. He's been in contact with teams on the ground. He joins us from London. Matt, welcome to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning.
Matt, what have your teams there in the Chinese Qinghai region been telling you about the devastation?
Our teams in the region have been operating in that area for a long time. We've had partners on the ground doing a series of programs, and what they're telling us is that the situation is pretty bad, particularly with regards to the roads. Landslides have damaged a number of the roads, and so a key challenge at the moment is to clear the rubble on those roads so that we've got access into the area. Our staff from the neighbouring Tibetan province are travelling to the region, or have been travelling overnight, and we'll be getting more information for us during the course of today as we begin our operations. They've also told us that the rescue operation has begun in earnest. People are being pulled from the rubble, and there is a significant level of operation up and running. However, the level of need is also extremely high. This is a remote and mountainous region, and there's a lot of children particularly are very vulnerable.
And just in terms of the death toll, Matt, in the last couple of hours it's jumped by 200 people dead in the official figures anyway, which suggests that the search and rescue effort is stepping up. Do you know if there's expectations that the death toll will rise much higher?
We see this in almost every earthquake, unfortunately. One of the hardest issues is accessing people. Of course, many people are lost in the rubble. And sadly, we can only assume for sure that the death toll will rise in one way or another, as it tends to.
The region is at an altitude of 3,000 metres, I think, at least, which, as you say, access is very difficult. How much is that a problem for the rescue efforts? Are they going to have to try it? Because I understand a lot of the bridges are fractured, dangerously fractured, if not collapsed, and the roads collapsed. Mm. Is there a plan to get in through helicopter or some other way?
I mean, road access will be difficult. As I say, one of the top priorities of the government at the moment is to clear those roads. There is also a small airport near to the worst affected city, but the main airport is some 12 hours drive away. That's the airport that can handle heavy aeroplane aircraft, and of course, access by road from there is extremely hard. We experience this in other earthquakes in mountainous regions, and very often helicopters are an absolute priority, as well as specialist 4x4 vehicles and others.
Now, it's the middle of the night there at the moment. The temperatures are hovering around freezing. Do we know how survive? I mean, does that pose a threat to the survival of people? Is the temperature that cold? Are there enough tents, enough shelter?
Shelter is an absolute top priority in this situation. Shelter and warm clothing. We've been told that 5,000 tents so far have been dispatched from neighbouring provinces by the government. That is a key priority, particularly for children who, of course, vulnerable to the cold.
In the last massive earthquake in China, the focus was very much on the number of children dead because these kids were in schools. The schools collapsed, and there was an outcry about the poor building of schools. Was that a similar situation here?
Our partners, as I say, we were operating in education programs in that area. They are telling us that it happened at a time when sort of the schools were just beginning. Some locations did have children within them, others didn't. We're not sure yet the extent of that damage. Of course, we're extremely worried about that.
Okay, Matt, if you could just stay on the line. We're crossing to Robbie Barnett now, the Director of Modern Tibetan Studies at Columbia University. He knows the Qinghai province well. He's travelled there many times. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Robbie, good morning.
Good morning.
Robbie, can you describe this area of the eastern Tibetan plateau for us, the area where the quake struck?
It's mainly a vast grassland area of pasture, which until very recently was covered by Tibetan nomads within their black yak hair tents with vast herds of yaks. Although the government has closed a lot of those nomads down and moved them to towns in the last couple of years.
Robbie, I'm just losing you there. I'm going to try another question. I know you're travelling by bus, I think, through Washington, D.C. The pictures we've seen, there's been some concrete buildings, but mostly wood and mud. You wouldn't think that kind of building is built to survive quakes. Hello, Robbie? Oh, I think he's gone. Let's try Matt. Are you still there, Matt?
I am.
Matt, is that a problem with this quake, that the quality of the building?
The quality of buildings is always a massive issue in every earthquake. I mean, Save the Children's been working since the last earthquake in Sichuan province, which killed nearly 80,000 people in China just a couple of years ago. We've been working on programs, what we call disaster risk reduction, which is about trying to strengthen the quality of particularly school infrastructure in that area to try and ensure that earthquakes themselves have less damage. Of course, and recently we look at the situation in Haiti compared to the situation in Chile, and look at the comparisons between the two in terms of the number of people that were killed, hundreds of thousands in one versus 500 in the other, and of course the quality of buildings is a massive issue.
The Chinese government is moving in the rescue teams, and they're well equipped and used to doing rescues in these kind of regions, but there's also quite a large military presence in this province given its proximity to Tibet. Is that likely to work in favour of the rescue effort?
I mean, our understanding is that the military operation, military presence within the region has already begun to get engaged in the rescue effort. those who are there, apparently 1,200, were deployed today and have already been working by hand mainly to try and extract people from the rubble. Most of the 5,000 or so people initially dispatched, the specialists, earthquake specialists that have been dispatched, we understand, will also have come largely from military backgrounds. So yes, it's a key part of the Chinese government's response to the situation. And in a context like this, that's the way they respond. And in the past, they've done a pretty good job of doing so.
So just finally, Matt, the call we have heard from one local spokesman from the region says they lack tents. We've talked about that they lack medical equipment, medicine and medical workers. Will medical teams be on the way?
We understand, and I'm sure that medical teams will be on the way. If I could just add one more to those, which is that in a situation like this, the children really particularly are vulnerable, not just to the cold, not just to the lack of water, but many of these children will have been separated, and it's an absolute priority for organisations like Save the Children to ensure that we can reunite them with their families or with carers as quickly as possible.
And that could be a massive job. I mean, are you estimating hundreds or thousands of kids? They could easily be thousands without the parents.
It's really too soon to say in a situation like this. Over the next 24 hours, a lot more information has access. As I say, the roads become a bit clearer as the communications becomes a bit better. Then we'll get a better sense of the numbers that we're talking about.
Okay, well, good luck with that effort. And thanks very much for your time, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Wingate is a senior emergencies advisor with Save the Children, joining us from London. It's 7:02 on RN Breakfast.